AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. Fred Rogan.
You know the one thing you never do? You never mess with the big dog.
Rodney P.
Let me in. Let me do my thing.
This is Rogan and Rodney. This hour of Rogan and Rodney is sponsored by Duffy Power Services, Southern California's generator experts. Go to DuffyPower.com. That's DUTHIE.com. Rogan and Rodney can be streamed and podcasted wherever you are on the iHeartRadio app. Now your hosts.
I'm ready. It's game day, Fred. I'm so ready.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete.
All right, here we go on a Monday. Fred Rogan is out. He is globetrotting around the world. I'm not sure where he is. I think he's Morocco riding the camel, or I don't know. Who knows where Fred is these days? But he is traveling. He is out. And we're in the thick of a lot of sports right now. My man Ryan Holland is joining me today. Ryan, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Been a minute.
It has been a minute, man. And we will dive really deep because I got you here, man. So I'm going to pick your brain. And I always like to get the perspective from guys that were in the mix and played. And so we're going to talk some NBA playoffs and some coaching searches for the Lakers because I know it's getting hot and heavy. But I just want to start real quick and get into the Dodgers over the weekend. And just from a general, they lose the last game, had a chance to sweep the Phillies. Now, Ryan, the Phillies came into Dodger Stadium last weekend and pretty much put a beat down on the Dodgers. Took 3 out of 4 and really made the Dodgers not look so hot. And I don't know if it was because the Phillies were rolling, which they are. Bryce Harper is killing it right now. He's probably the hottest player in baseball. But as a team, they came in and kind of steamrolled the Dodgers. The Dodgers were able to win that last game so they didn't get swept, but had a chance for revenge going back to Philly and actually looked really good in the first two ball games, even looked good in the last one yesterday, but then they let it get away from them. And they lost the third game in Philly against them on a error by Max Muncy in extra innings that allowed the Phillies to score and win that game. And I bring that up, and it's no fault to Max. And, you know, he's been struggling, Ryan. He's been struggling the whole season. He hasn't, you know, we're normally seeing Max being a guy that's, you know, in the mid, you know, 200s hitting the ball, but also hitting the long ball a lot. He's hitting over 35 home runs the last 3 years, but he's really been struggling. And a lot of times, you know, guys, when they struggle, you can attribute it to a lot of different things, whether it be just a year, but Max is coming off an injury, a bad injury last year with his elbow, but he's gutted it out. He played through spring training and he's playing this year. I personally think he's not right. I think he's not healthy. Just from and you play, so you understand this, the pressure just to go play, even when you're not 100%, because his struggles, yes, everybody struggles, but I think there are some things going on with Max that he's not 100% healthy. The pressure of playing through injury when probably maybe you shouldn't necessarily be out there, you know?
I think I say it like this. You got to be confident. And there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. If I'm injured, I shouldn't be on the field. I shouldn't be playing. And if I'm hurt, you gotta play. You gotta put it out your mind. And confidence becomes everything, because the second that in your mind you're thinking about that injury, you think about whatever it may be, you've already counted yourself out. And I think to answer your question, as you threw out, like, hey, like, how long do I stick with you? What's the reward? Do I need you during a run for a World Series? How big are you? What do you mean? Are you the emotional leader of the ball club? What impact is it going to have to the guys around you if we pull you out the lineup? Could that be me that gets taken out the lineup? So there's so many different factors that go into it. You know, unfortunately, like Rodney, like I'll tell you, like I was always the guy to like lose my spot. Mm-hmm. And I say it in the sense, because
what do you mean lose your spot? When somebody came back or injured, or
it was a gift. I'm the guy who played 10 years, but I was never going to have a bad attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was always going to play hard, whether I started or I came off the bench. My attitude wasn't going to change. You know, certain teammates, you Rodney, you can name them if you like.
Yes, yes.
If you benched them, if you took their spot,
yes,
the whole team had to fill it. Yes. It was a bad attitude. Like, you had to get rid of this guy. Yes. I wasn't that guy, so I was always the guy. You know, let's put Ryan on the bench. He'll be a good sport about it. And I think as you talk about Muncy and kind of some struggles, is you have to evaluate all those things. And I think as a good manager, you don't just step in and say, I'm pulling a guy who's not playing well. You got to evaluate everything. Is he a guy that takes a kick in a butt and responds? How many teammates you seen quit?
Yeah.
You, things aren't going your way. You're not hot. They quit. They're out of it.
Yeah. The hard part, for me, when you look at a guy like this, because we're all competitors, you wouldn't be out there unless you were a competitor, right? You want to compete, and most guys do. Now, there's different levels to that of guys that, I'm do whatever it takes. I'm going to go throw my body and just, I don't care. I'll worry about that when I'm 55, and do that. But when, as a player, because we don't always see it as a player, as you're looking at yourself, I can do this. I can limp around, or I'm not 100%, but I can still play better than 90% of the cats that are on the street. So I'm going to go do this. But fans don't care. They see you in the uniform out there playing. They don't care that you've been banged up. You got a uniform on. You in the game. You better deliver.
You got to produce.
You got to produce. Sometimes you got to step outside yourself. And as a manager for a guy that has delivered for you since he's been here, when do you let him know, hey, we got to step back from this? And that's a tough one. The luxury I think the Dodgers have, and they've had over the years, is they've had enough guys on this team, quality guys and players, that they've been able to fill those roles. That one guy can struggle, the rest of the team, they got enough guys to pick it up, And the Dodgers right now, look, we're in L.A., Ryan. You know how it is. We're in L.A. The Dodgers lose one game to the Phillies on an error by Max Muncy. Everybody's, going crazy like the sky is falling. It's the Dodgers. They're still a half game up on the Padres in the West. And everybody thinks they lost the World Series because they're not blowing everybody out and they're not 12 games ahead of everybody in the West. But that's just the nature of being a Dodger and being a Laker, which we'll get into too. But for Max and for his struggles, I think he's a guy that you gotta let it work through. We've seen that with Mookie now. Mookie's coming around, and his bat has been on fire. We're seeing that with Freddie Freeman. We're seeing that with Justin Turner. Guys that struggled early are now coming around. But my question with Max sometimes is because of the way the Dodgers operate, and you can attest to this, is sometimes guys, because they don't make waves, sometimes guys that are good teammates, they don't say anything. But the Dodgers, the way they've gone about their business, is guys are interchangeable. They can play multiple positions. They can play second base. They can play left field. They can play first base. And right now, Max is playing all over the place. He's playing third base. He's playing second base, which he played yesterday where he made the error at second base. He's played first base. But now with the addition of Freddie Freeman, who's a mainstay at first base, he not playing first base unless Freddie needs a rest. Plays a little third base. Is it something there where a guy cannot find that comfort level because he's moving around so much?
Yeah. For me, I always had to know, what I was going to do, where I was going to be. As an athlete, and especially you become a veteran, as a rookie, you don't care. You're eating pizza for your pregame meal. You know what I'm saying? You're late. You're hanging with your homeboy. I wouldn't say you're late, but you're all over the place. As you become a veteran, routine is everything. And if you aren't comfortable in the spot that you're playing, you don't have that consistency. And listen, there's a value in being versatile. There's a value in being able to be placed in different positions
100%.
And succeed. And there are certain guys who can and certain guys who can't. You know, like certain guys, I can change the lineup up. I can start you. I can bring you off the bench. I can insert you into the lineup. I can do different things with you, and you will succeed. But I will say, overall, consistency is king. I mean, Rodney, you know it. Before the game, am I lying? You like to tie your shoes up the same way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're already running through. if this happens, I'm going to do this. This happens, I'm going to do this. This position I'm going to be in, even to the spot, it, Rodney, you know this. Yeah. You know where you sit on the bus.
Yeah.
You know where you sit on the plane. So guys don't like change. There are, as I will mention, there's some guys who can thrive in that, and they get paid a lot of money for it, but it's not for everybody. I don't think it's something that you just lightly throw around, and I think if that's the Dodgers culture, I don't mind that, but in all reality, as a batter in such a mental game and mental place that you have to be in to thrive, it can be a factor.
Yeah, and it is, and you know this. Sometimes when you are struggling in one area, it carries over to the other.
Mm.
Now, you know, we just mentioned the air, and I know everybody's, you know, kind of focusing on that, and I'm adding fuel to that fire by talking about it today. But and in basketball or football, I throw an interception, it. In the first quarter, it's a bad one. Is that going to affect me in the next series when I go out to play?
Mm.
You know, you not hitting your shots, the guy's not hitting his threes, is that going to affect him on defense? Getting back for defense or playing because he's thinking about, man, I can't hit a shot from outside. So if Max is struggling at the plate or anybody's struggling at the plate, the hard part as an athlete is don't take it to the field or don't take it to another aspect of the game, as I think he's struggling, so focused on getting the offense going at the plate that maybe the defense is secondary to that for him.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. You brought up a good point. What was it like? I know different sport. Mm-hmm. When you threw an interception, did you come, hey man, call the handoff next time for me? Or like, you know what? Like, let me get a safe play or like, you know what? Air it out. What was that? Because you had so much on your shoulders as a quarterback. I know if I turn the ball over, dang it, you know, I gotta make up for it. But as a quarterback, that's a whole different monster.
Yeah, it's a tough line with the ego, right?
Yeah.
And believing in yourself and the confidence. Like everybody talks about short memory in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do intercept. No, give me the ball again. I want to go right back at him because that's not gonna happen again. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to make this happen. That was my bad, my mistake, whatever you want to call. I'm going right back at him. And it's the same thing when you see great players. If they miss the first 10, they're going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
And you got to keep shooting. And like today, Max Muncy, he's in the lineup hitting sixth, playing third base today instead of playing second base. So he's moving around. But a guy like that, with the team around him, I think the Dodgers – kind of have that luxury of saying, okay, Max, you can struggle because we got five other guys going to pick you up for the rest of
the month. You think that's an accident, put him at third base?
No, because he's played there.
Okay.
He's played there, but again, it's not. He doesn't play there every day, right? And he doesn't play second base every day.
And it's so definitely not the same. It ain't the same load.
No.
No.
So we'll see. We'll see. And again, we overreact here because it's the Dodgers, and they've been, you know, multiple playoffs, multiple division titles. They're in first place again, but they're not blowing people out. So everybody was, ooh, what's wrong with the Dodgers? But they will be just fine. That transitions to this. Will this team be fine? And I talk about the NBA, and I'm talking about the Lakers. It feels as though they, and sounds through all the reports, that they've started to narrow down their search in terms of coaching with Darvin Ham, Kenny Atkinson, and Terry Stotts being kind of the three finalists left there. First off, my question to you is the Laker job a good job right now for a head coach?
Yes and no. Yes and no. It's a boom or bust deal. Like boom or bust, you know what I'm saying? It's a boom or bust deal. And when I say it's boom or bust, if you go out and win a... Frank Vogel's like, I don't want to hear this, but you have success. I was going to say win a championship. Vogel's like, I did that. If you have success as a Laker coach, which ends up in a championship, you're set up for life. You're golden. I mean, Phil Jackson is going to be – he's always going to be Phil. Now, granted, Phil is one of the greatest coaches of all time. We don't need to go down that road. But you win a championship in L.A., there's nothing like it as a player, coach, assistant to any degree. But it's also a setup job. Mm-hmm. Frank Vogel just won a championship. Frank Vogel was pretty darn certified. But guess what? Last year was his fault. Yeah. This is the same reason why Tyronn Lue said, I saw the way that you guys structured my deal. I'm not going to take that setup. I'd rather go do my thing with the Clippers because I want security. It's the reason why Doc Rivers looked over and like, the way y'all threw Frank under the bus, y'all think I want that? So now if you're the Lakers, you have to make up your mind in a coaching search and say, do we give a team-friendly deal to a coach in which if we need to move on, we're able to move on?
Yeah.
If, let's say, he's a LeBron guy and LeBron moves on, or we don't want to be so LeBron-focused, we got to get rid of the coach. Or do we spend the money on a guy and say, here's the security. It's your ship. You got nothing to worry about. Because what happens now, and Rodney, you've been here in these situations, if you know coach is on a hot seat, you're not going to attach yourself to the coach the same way. If you know the coach doesn't have the same leeway, the same energy to make decisions, you're not going to attach himself the same way. But when you know he's not, when you know he has the power, you got to do it his way. I think about it like this. I was in Sacramento. I'm not going to name the player. I was in Sacramento, and George Karl came. And when George Karl came, I was like, oh, man, he had a four-year deal. They paid him a couple million. Oh, man, and George knew it. And we're like, we're going to have to do things George's way. And when George got there, it was like, George has the power. And once it was seen that George didn't have the power that was once thought, things changed in Sacramento the next year, okay? But when he had the power, it was a different mindset from the players, the star players, and the guys, that guys had to buy into what George was selling. And you can feel that shift. So if you bring in a Darvin Ham, is he going to command that respect? Is the team going to invest in him? The organization going to invest in him? Is he going to be able to vibe with a LeBron James? Is he going to vibe with Westbrook? Like, all these things are so pivotal to where the Lakers go from here, because, dang, can I, like, they have to build culture. Yeah. I don't think I'm wrong for saying that. They have to build culture.
Yeah. I agree, because I couldn't tell you what the culture is with the Lakers right now. I really can't. And when you say respect, is a young guy who's never been a head coach before going to get that respect? And how does he get that respect? Is it going to have to come from LeBron saying, he's my guy, I'm going to, you know, you guys treat him like I would treat him. I respect him, so y'all got to respect him. Because you know how it is in the locker room. And like you just mentioned with the contracts, with George Karl, if they give him one of those, or whoever gives one of those contracts, it's like, this is a team-friendly deal. He can be out of here any moment.
Yep.
Players see that too.
Yes.
They see that too, and they go, he may not be here in a year or two. Why am I this young? So how does a young guy coming into a storied franchise like this that hasn't been a coach before command that respect when you've got an organization right now, at least in my mind, that kind of doesn't, that kind of lost its way in terms of the culture of it right now?
Here's the thing, Rodney. You know this. Some guys got it and some don't. Mm-hmm. Like Rodney, low-key, like you were probably in Little League and walked into a huddle and just commanded that thing. like some people have it, and some, like, I played with Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
And from day one, I knew Juwan Howard would be a great coach. And you see what he's been able to accomplish at Michigan. He was just a natural leader. I played with Willie Green.
Yeah.
I could tell Willie Green was cool, calm, and collected, but very confident in everything he had to say and just commanded respect. He'd be a heck of a coach, and you see that right now. I play with Grant Hill. You see what Grant Hill does on TV. Shoot, I play with Chauncey Billups. Right. Chauncey Billups, you knew, you big shot, what you need? He was a coach before he was already a coach. Some of these guys, you see their reputation, you see their respect amongst the league, and then can you speak the language? Like, that's the whole deal now. Like, Rodney, like your generation, and I feel like mine, you listen to coach because you were supposed to listen to coach.
Yeah.
But now you get into a situation where, hey, man, you got to vibe with the players. Like, it's a players' league more than ever. So
yes, you better understand.
You got to be able
go to get some kids.
You got to be able to speak the language.
Yeah, you got to be able to speak the language. How much, though, and I've been on the soapbox about this, of information right now is more so here than we've ever had it before. You guys can find out anything you want to. Anybody can find out anything you want to. It's dangerous. It's a town without a sheriff in a lot of ways. But with guys that we just talked about, guys see the contract. Guys see how certain people are being treated. With the Lakers right now, it just feels there's so many voices in that coaching search box. Is Phil Jackson? Is it Kurt Rambis? Is it Magic? Is it Genie's making the call? Is it Rob Pelinka? Who's making the call? Is it LeBron making the call? To me, for a young coach or any coach coming in here, That's got to be tough, right? And then on top of that, Ryan, you better win. You better win.
It's L.A., man. It's like you said, we just talked Dodgers. And you said it's a make-or-break town. It's star-studded. There's one expectation, go hard or go home. You have to know what you're getting into. You have to know what you're getting into. And as an NBA coach, it's a player's league. And we talk about it being a player's league. You have to know that coming in. You got to know if things don't go right, if LeBron is fatigued, he don't want to get back on defense, if Westbrook turns the ball over, Anthony Davis is hurt, it's your fault. Like, you got to come into understanding and knowing that.
Yeah, which is tough, though. So of these three guys, and you know Terry Stotts. You played with Terry Stotts when he was assistant. How do you think he would fit as a Laker coach?
I like Coach Stotts. I think he commands respect. You know, I talked to Dame about it. Dame vibed with him and worked out well. And, you know, Damian Lillard is a star. You know, he's a star of the league, arguably the most respected player in the NBA. And Coach Stotts held his weight, you know. They just couldn't get things done or get over the hump. I think with all due respect, it was more personnel issues there up in Portland. And, you know, just that's why they ended up parting ways. But I think Coach Stotts is a heck of a coach.
Yeah. Hey, listen for your chance at Dan Patrick every single weekday morning between 6 and 9 for the cue to call for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Dodger game. Stream all the games in HD on the free iHeartRadio app, keyword AM570, LA Sports. When we come back, we're going to get into some of these playoffs. They're getting hot and heavy, and I want to get Ryan's take on the Golden State Warriors being back in the mix. We'll be right back.
This is your shot to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website, bank. That's bank. Enter it now.
AM570LASports.com.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM570LASports.
You gotta enlighten me on this because I'm at a loss right now. Party all the time. That what you got? 37 years ago, Eddie Murphy, Rick James did this. Yes, the music industry will never be the same after this hit. Oh. Sometimes they say stay in your lane. Sometimes you gotta stay in your lane.
Party all the even time though, was kind of jamming,
even
man.
Even though Eddie can actually, he can actually sing and play instruments and is talented musically. And yeah, of course. Rick James, man. Anything Rick James did, I love. Again, Ryan Holland's in for Fred Rogan. We are on a sprint today, only an hour show, so we're trying to get it all in. We talked a little bit about the Lakers in the last hour, or the last segment, and I want to move to the playoffs, Ryan. Just right now, overall, your thoughts on how the playoffs have gone, your thoughts on where we are now with Boston and Miami in the East and Golden State now up 3-0 on the Dallas Mavericks. Just in general, your thoughts on the playoffs and what we've seen so far.
I think we have to be extremely excited from the parity that we're seeing and that it's not going to be the usual suspects that we thought it was going to be. Lakers and Nets, okay? Mm-hmm. Or if you were under the understanding, Milwaukee and the Suns. It just didn't happen. So now we're going to crown a new champ. Somebody's going to be, you know, the king of the NBA, and I think it's great for the league. And on one hand, don't forget all the people, we don't like the Golden State, and we don't like super teams. Super teams are bad for the NBA. Remember that, right? Yeah. Like, right, yeah. Like super, we don't like it.
Yep.
Yeah, you do. You like the Chicago Bulls going back to back. You like the Lakers, Kobe and Shaq's Lakers. You liked all that.
Got to have a villain.
Yep, you got to have a villain. A hero or a villain. Sometimes you play both. Okay, Rodney, I was never popular enough to be both. Maybe more in broadcasting I've been both. All right, but for the most part, you have to like that you have parity. Looking like the Warriors are taking care of business. Dallas just hadn't been there before, man.
You think it's just the inexperience right now of Dallas is really rearing its head?
Yeah, you don't. They were beating the stuffing out of them in game two. I mean, they were like Rod. You know it when you get up by a substantial amount.
Yeah.
You can't lose those games.
Right.
Good teams finish those games. Maybe you don't win every game. You don't drop the ball. You had a chance to go up 1-1. It would have been a completely new series, and you dropped the ball, and then you end up tricking off at home, and Golden State had to kill our instinct to understand, we win this, we win the series.
Yeah.
Right? They went in with that mindset, we win this, we win the series. They put their foot down, and they're back in it. Now, on the Eastern side, man, you got a real dogfight. Mm-hmm. You saw the physicality and forced turnovers in game one come back to tie the series up for Miami and then in the last game. And I think you have a heck of a series because the more talented team, the deeper team is Boston.
Yeah.
But they're just getting blitzed, dude. That series is physical. I mean, it's almost like 90s basketball.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it that they are letting them play for the most part. What I don't like is that, you know, they let them play, and then for a quarter, they start going back to calling things.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to let them play, just be consistent throughout the whole situation. But I agree with you. I think the series in the East is so compelling because it is like from my era, I love the 90s basketball, the way they played, physicality. Teams are actually playing defense. I'm going to shut you down. That's the mentality. And you got stars on stars. And what I loved about, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm a LA Laker guy, but I am impressed with what Boston has done throughout these playoffs, especially the way they've done it on the defensive side. And we talked about this off air. Ime Udoka, is that how you pronounce his name?
Ime Udoka.
Udoka, yeah. What he's gotten out of the Celtics in terms of them playing defense is incredible. First against the Nets and on KD, then on Giannis and Milwaukee, and now in a series where you got two defensive-minded coaches going at it, I think it's great. But I also believe the Celtics let one get away in game three, at home, have a chance to really, because they stole one. I don't say they stole one. They had a beatdown in Miami the second game. Go back home and don't play well at all and lose that one. Now, I think they tie it back up, and it's going to go game to seven games. But how do you see that one playing out?
Listen, man, if you're Boston, like I said, they're the better team, but they can't turn the ball over. Yeah. And when the Heat have success, they're physical. They're able to put their hands on them, and they force turnovers. And the reason I'm not in love with the Heat is because they can get into these patches where they really struggle to score the basketball.
Yeah, only Jimmy Butler can score.
Exactly. And if Jimmy's not hot, sometimes they're trying to find out who it is. So for them to win, they have to muddy, ugly, you know, physical the game up. And if you think about Jason Tatum is being guarded by P.J. Tucker. I mean, P.J. Tucker, I think he's literally in his jersey. He's in Jason Tatum's jersey. Last game, he was wearing Tatum on the back of his jersey. That's how close he was guarding him. And then, you know, they're staying in it, man. And that physicality is really, really bothering Boston. So they're going to have to find a way to just toughen up. Like, they need Marcus Smart like no other.
Yeah.
And for those who didn't see the game, Marcus Smart turns his ankle. Oh, yeah, he has to go to the back. And he runs out, and he's spirited, but he's not quite himself, and that could be pivotal moving forward. We'll see how that ankle ends up looking. That's something to really, really pay mind to.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's clearly, you know, of all the guys that have ran through Boston in the last 5-6 years, right? From Isaiah Thomas,
yes,
you had Kyrie Irving go through there. You had Kemba Walker through there. I mean, all these guys, and Marcus Smart was a guy that kind of lasted, and are we seeing the Marcus Smart? I'm sure if you ask him, this is me, this has always been me, but he has taken his game to a whole different level that I didn't know he had in terms of just being able to score the basketball. We knew he was a good defensive player of the year, but to be able to score and shoot the ball like he's doing, but also he's taken over the leadership reins of that team. Did you see this, or did you know this from Marcus Smart?
Yeah, he's a dog. He's physical. Offensively, I think he's been a little more patient, and he's in there. He's created that culture. If you think about the bubble, he was going at Tatum, and he was going at those guys and saying, hey, man, you guys have gotten soft. You don't defend. You thought the Beatles were going to break up. You thought them boys were going to have to go their separate ways, but Smart ended up being right. And I think there's an element, Rodney, that you have to understand. You see this in basketball, and I want to ask you, if you get it in football, we can have our leader. Mm-hmm. Like Steph Curry's the leader of the Warriors.
Yeah.
But the emotional leader, that's a different guy. That's Draymond Green. Their leader is Jason Tatum. The best player is Jason Tatum. Their emotional leader is Marcus Smart. Is that the same in football? Did you have this is our leader, but this is our emotional leader over here. That's the guy like when we need it, he's going to bring it.
Oh yeah. Several times there were guys like you said that were like the general, right? Yeah, and the general is going to make sure everybody's in line if there's anybody gets out. But you always need that emotional guy too.
Is there anybody you play with that comes to mind?
Yeah, I spent a year in Dallas. I left Detroit, got out of that situation and went to Dallas, regrouped, went down there for a year, and the culture change was incredible, Ryan. It was like I thought the NFL was all the same.
Yeah.
Until I went to Dallas and saw how they did everything first class. And Jerry treated everybody right, from the grounds crew to Troy Aikman. Everybody was taken care of. He knew everybody's name. But clearly, Aikman was the leader of the team, right? He was the face of the franchise, his quarterback. When I got there, they had come off two winning two Super Bowls. But at the end of the day, the one that got him going was Michael Irvin.
Oh, really?
Yes. Michael Irvin was the emotional, the passionate leader. He was the one, the dog that got in everybody's face. Yeah. Didn't care who it was. It was absolutely Mike Irvin. So I hear exactly what you're saying. And I think most teams that are successful have that. Right?
Yeah.
They have that calming leader, that one that can keep everything calm. And then they have the emotional guy that's going, that guy when you're with your crew and you're out, he's not going to let anything happen to you.
Facts.
He's not going to let anything happen to you. Are we seeing the emergence of a different level from Jason Tatum now? Because what I've seen him in these playoffs, we knew he was talented. But I think he is turning in, and we didn't see it in game three, but hopefully I think it comes back, a guy that has been able to take a team, put it on his back, and say, let's go win this. Are we seeing that him emerge to be that guy?
Not yet, but you're seeing like the sparks. Like you're seeing the flashes. I think we're seeing flashes from a couple guys. You're seeing flashes from Tatum. You're seeing flashes from Luka. But the way that we have to go back and appreciate the LeBron Jameses, the Kevin Durants at a high level, the Steph Currys, is that when they were that guy, they were on. Like, when they were that guy, it was night after night after night. And right now, we're trying to figure out who's the best player in the league. But you're seeing flashes of 47-piece dropped by Tatum. All right, like, man, he's that guy.
And D'ing up, folks.
And D'ing up is, I'm glad you mentioned that. His defense has been significantly better. Yeah. Significantly better. And I want to piggyback off a point you just made. I think that's what's hurting Dallas. Dallas doesn't have that emotional leader.
Yeah.
They got the leader in Luka, like the best player. They don't have that emotional leader. They don't have that Marcus Smart.
Right.
And Golden State has Draymond. Like Draymond's flirting with getting kicked out every game.
Exactly.
Right? Right? Yeah. But it's almost worth it because Draymond – has everybody over their own one. He has Steph and Clay are so comfortable. You know, when I played with Chris Paul, and I played with Paul Pierce and, Blake Griffin and Kevin Garnett and, Jason Kidd and those guys, I knew it was more so my job to make sure they were comfortable. I had to make sure that Jason Kidd had a chance to be the best that he could be. Chris Paul could be the best that he could be on the floor. I had to make sure Kevin Garnett, nobody touches KG. No one touches Paul Pierce. You know what I'm saying? That was valuable, and I think that's missing in Dallas. I think Boston has it. I think Miami has a team full of those guys, which is kind of scary. Who's their emotional leaguer? Yeah. You're like, Jimmy Butler, Haslam on the bench. Who's my guy, man? Victor Oladipo.
Everybody forgot about him a little bit.
Yeah, they have a team full of them.
Real quick before we go to break, I just want to get your take on, do you think Golden State, and especially Chris, Steph Curry, is reminding people, y'all must have forgot.
Oh.
Y'all must have forgot these couple years. of what I can do, what kind of firepower I actually have.
Yes and no. Yes and no. You want the answer? You want it now, yes, or you want it later?
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hey, listen to Petros and Money today starting at 1 o'clock for your chance to win an escape for a day to enjoy L.A. featuring suite tickets to see the Dodgers on Memorial Day and an overnight stay at the East Central Hotel Freeway close to Dodger Stadium. For complete details, check out our Instagram at AM570 LA Sports. Ryan Holland in for Fred Rogan. Boy, we getting an hour's not long enough today. We need more. We need more, Kevin. Stay tuned.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Delight.
Oh, yeah. Got to get it in. Today's Afternoon Delight is Sliding by Jason Derulo. The 32-year-old Florida native teamed up with Kodak Black on this track, which dropped late last week. When talking about his collab with Kodak Black, in a recent interview he said, "My guy, my Haitian brother, he came in blessed and we honestly had a great time. Make sure you check out the song. The song, I promise you, is the song of the summer. It's going to stick in your head and make you want to dance." Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Sliding by Jason Derulo featuring Kodak Black. An Afternoon Delight is brought to you by Tommy. Stop into one of over 30 original Tommy's locations and get the world famous chili burger and some chili cheese fries as well. We still got a lot to do before the show's ended, but I left asking you about Steph Curry, and is he reminding everybody in these playoffs that I'm not done yet? I still got some more for you.
Of course he is. He's not done yet. Steph Curry is far from that, but he's not the same Steph Curry. Like, Steph could kind of like, you were waiting for these Steph, like, 10-0 runs, 15-0 runs, like, and you saw it just every game. You know, there was a moment, and it was, like, unguardable. And now he can do it, but it's not the same.
Not the assassin type.
Nah, it's not. Yeah, just, I mean, it was a 15-0 run by himself.
Yeah.
Where he's just pulling up from, like, one dribble pass half court, he'd pull up. Right. But it's still there. It's just not there the same. Remember the Jamie Foxx, the stand-up Jamie Foxx, and he said, you know, Michael went to hit the moonwalk, right, and the moonwalk wasn't quite there. It's not the same like that, but there's an element where...
We'll show you something.
It's still Steph.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, there. But it's a good thing for Steph. He has help. Right. He has help. So he doesn't have to be that every time. Yeah.
All right. I know who needs some help. We all need some help. And it's that time. We can't get out of here without hearing a little haiku from our man. And make sure to call Pacific Coast Termite for a free home inspection before termites can start doing their damage. Certain restrictions apply. Mention AM570 and get 10% off termite treatments and a 2-year guarantee on their work. Call 800-PACIFIC, and that's 800-PACIFIC. And now, for our haiku at 2, we welcome on our man, Vic the Brick Jacob. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Rodney, Pete, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
He's in for the vacationing, Fred Rogan. He is of the essence of the NBA. 10 years in the association with 9 different squads. Every squad loved having him on their roster. He did the dirty work. Totally selfless, Ryan Hollins.
I'm not worthy, Brick. I'm not worthy, Brick.
Always.
I'm not worthy, Brick. Come on, Brick.
Always.
Come on, all Brick.
All day, Ryan.
My man.
Totally selfless ball player.
Appreciate you, Brick.
You know, they say Draymond Green is selfless. Ryan, when you look up selfless association, there is a picture of Ryan Hollins.
Ooh, speak on it, Vic.
Ooh.
The glue. You were the glue, man. The glue.
Damn.
Appreciate it, Brick. Come on, Brick.
Mm. executive producer. Rogan and Rodney Show, please put your hands together. Show the mighty, mighty love. It's Kevin Figgis.
King Flavor, come on now.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Wild Thing, you make my heart sing. Ronnie Fazio.
I'm feeling you. Ha!
I'm telling you, the poignant moment last night.
Tell me.
Andrew Wiggins, the posterization of Luka. Ryan, how does that make Luka Doncic feel?
He knows who he is. He's good. He
can't
good
play
with
D
it.
Though. He doesn't play D.
It would have hurt my feelings though.
I know.
Yeah.
Were you ever posterized to that degree?
I wish I had those bunnies.
Were you ever posterized, Ryan, to that degree?
Yeah, but not like that. Not like that. You ain't just look me in my eyes and give me one. You know, I've been snuck before. Not like that.
It's slow motion.
Yeah.
I'm coming down the lane to dunk over you. Here I come.
Yeah, nah. I taken him. Not like that.
He channeled his inner human highlight film. I mean, that was a neat. Say many feek Wilkins flashback for me. I didn't know Andrew Wiggins had it in him. Ways of the Warrior. Ways of the Warrior, which leads us back, of course, to the haiku. And I want to go back to Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh,
a lot of Mahatma.
Oh, you went Gandhi?
I'm
Monday?
Going Gandhi again. Namaste, everybody.
Oh. Vic.
Gandhi.
Heavyweight.
Haiku for you on this Monday, May the 23rd. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. I'm feeling you. Gandhi.
Oh, Vic. An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind.
That's a bar. Let that one settle in. Say it a few times. It might take you a few times to let it settle in, man.
I love it, Vic. Thank you so much. Ryan Hollins, always a pleasure, brother. Let's do it again tomorrow.
I'm in.
Right on. Kevin, Ronnie, thank you very much. Short sprint today, but everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Petrol for money. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the bin. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, to live and die in LA.